It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores, the games every day, just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And D, we are recording this on December 16th, which means that yesterday was sort of the unofficial start to the trade market season in the NBA. 12-15 is the date that players who were signed the previous offseason are eligible to be traded. And sort of historically, at least recently speaking, been just the beginning of that time where players can start to get moved. And so, D, I wanted to have a quick big picture conversation about the trade market. This is something we last talked about in the offseason. We have our own personal moratorium on this, in that the first couple of months are for learning what the team is and who they are. And I think we've learned a lot about who they are and what they need. Some of it is exactly, I think, what we thought would be true over the offseason, but not everything. And the Lakers are a good team. That's one thing that we didn't know for sure, right? Is they're 18-7. They've won 72% of their games with certainly imperfect health, while also showing a tendency toward certain weaknesses and toward being troubled by a certain type of matchup. And so, Dee, when I ask you that question, just big picture wise, where's your head at going into the first shopping season of 25-26?
I'm glad you brought up the idea of the things that we know more of now. These are some of the things that I think we had inklings even towards the summer. And so some of this is just verification in a lot of ways of what some of our previous beliefs were. I won't speak for you on this, but I think we are on the same page here. We thought the Lakers were well positioned to be a good basketball team, where others nationally had other teams like leapfrog the Lakers in a lot of ways. The Lakers were the number three seed last season, and we thought they got better. How that was going to conflate towards like seeding was one thing, but I just thought that they had the chance to be a pretty good basketball team, and they are. The way that the weaknesses have manifested have almost reinforce, though, many of the same ideas I had going into the summer about like where I thought the Lakers might need to improve most. What I don't think the Lakers need, which is one thing I thought the Lakers would need over the summer, was a backup center. They had re-signed Jackson Hayes, and I thought Hayes was way more suited to be a backup and that there was a chance that he could be fine. Jackson's gotten better as a player, which honestly shouldn't surprise anyone. He's in his mid-20s. This is usually the time players start to get better and start to understand their roles better. But I'm way less inclined now towards looking at the Robert Williams of the world. If there was a clear upgrade that came as part of a larger team building idea, I might go along with that. But that's not immediately on my shopping list for me. But Otherwise, my mind is pretty much in the same place as it was before, which is I'm still looking for athleticism on the perimeter. I'm looking for perimeter defense. I think those two things go hand in hand. It'd be nice if whatever defensive-minded players the team got had utility on offense, specifically as a shooter or floor spacer, because I think that that would tilt JJ towards playing that player more. But for me, in the bigger picture, I think that the Venn diagram of where I thought the Lakers' weaknesses would be, where they actually are, and the type of player that I think helps address those needs, I think we're smack dab in the middle of it in the same way that we were 5 months ago when we were talking about this roster originally.
I think so as well. Your point about the backup five spot looking a lot more resolved than it did prior to the season is spot on. And I do feel comfortable going into the playoffs with Jackson as the backup big when even last season, right? It was like, you know, obviously we knew he was at least playing a role ahead of ideally where he'd be as a starter. But it was like, can we get a couple shifts out of him? I feel much more confident about that this year than otherwise. And yes, if something pops up, you know, they need to jump on that, but I don't think it's a priority for sure. And so what I see a lot of, and this goes hand in hand with the Lakers not having enough athleticism, is a lot of times there are Laker players being asked to guard a position down lower than they can really do it well. And so like Jake is an example of somebody who I think is more of a 3-4 that's been asked to guard a lot of twos. Rui is a guy who I think is more of a 4-3 who's asked to guard a lot of threes and twos right out on the perimeter. That when really a lot of the pressures of the roster defensively are pointing more toward a guard, like a 2-3 type of player. That's something, D, that like the best overall two-way player, that I think is a change in my broader view of this upcoming trade deadline, is it's kind of a BPA perimeter two-way guy that I like being in that spot of it not having to be a super specific type of guy. I just don't think it should or could be another power forward, right? Like that's sort of the one thing on the perimeter that I don't think would be useful. But I do think that they just need one more player that is good at that 2-3 type of spot.
It's interesting. I'd love a player, if I was building one from scratch, to be in between 6'5 and 6'7, have good length, have good athleticism, and have a sturdiness to him in body type so that if he needed to scale down, he could scale down to defend. But if he needed to scale up, even Pete, and defend threes on any given night, he could. This is almost like a taller Marcus Smart, if that makes sense, and more of a prime Marcus Smart, where obviously Smart won Defensive Player of the Year. The Lakers aren't going to get a guy who's capable of winning Defensive Player of the Year at the trade deadline. So I want to sort of nix that idea in the bud. But someone who Smart could guard point guards, he could guard shooting guards, and if he needed to, he could scale up and defend threes. I don't think the Lakers need someone who could defend a power forward, but I do think it would be useful considering how much they switch on the perimeter and have to sort of defend bigger guys.
Exactly. They're going to have a general degree of defensive aptitude that it can't just be a specialist. That's why one of the guys, when you were describing sort of the player that you would like, I really like Sadiq Bey as an option out of the Pelicans, right? Like somebody who is on a good contract that, and that's another element of this too, to throw into the mix, is the Lakers have their books lined up for a very clean summer, but an 18-7 team has emerged out of this. That's part of the thought process too, is like, how much do they commit to this sort of thing? So forgive me, I took that a couple of different directions, but yeah, that type of player like Bay, and but also like future contracts matter in this whole conversation.
They do, but Jason Temp was on the pod on Friday, and one of the things I said to him was, I'm also a big proponent of building next year's team today. And so I'm not averse. Oh, we have clean books. I'm not saying this is how you're being. I'm just making the point that you can swing the pendulum too far in the direction of like, oh, well, how do you want to like manage your cap space in the summer? I'd much rather have a player who I know is going to play in the rotation next year and trade for that player now, rather than cap space does not suit up and defend the point of attack. You know what I mean?
And honestly, the Lakers would be in a weaker position if they go into the summer with all $55 million or whatever that is. There's not enough guys. Like, that's not really where everything happens. To your point, that's why this is a very important deadline in building both this year and next year's team.
It is. And the idea of putting your ducks in a row and understanding your cap situation, obviously, is at the top of the priorities. You have to game it out. What do you think Austin is going to command? What is Rui going to command if you even keep Rui? What happens if Smart opts out and you want to keep Smart? What happens if Ayton opts out and you want to keep Ayton? Those are all factors within the cap space world, to say nothing of what's going to happen with LeBron James. But the idea of, oh, the Lakers can be like this huge cap space team, and what could that mean in a trade for a superstar player where you could absorb a ton of salary and not have to send a lot of things back or work with sign-in trades or do all kinds of different things. It opens up all of this endless wonder and possibility and all of this stuff where it's like you get excited and enticed by that. But if I were the Lakers and I'm just like, I could trade for a guy who's under contract, whose contract number is good for what I'd want, then why not trade for that guy now, even if it messes up the books a little bit or cuts into this potential cap space or puts you in a position where it takes things off of the table from a cap space perspective? I'd much rather have the rotation player in that regard. And if that player can help in the short term and in the long term, that's the biggest sort of trade deadline win for me, Pete. Mm-hmm. Let's go to break here. And when we come back, I'd love to sort of have you address that idea as well.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the next place to go is, okay, well, what does the market look like for the Lakers in general? And this is something we'll do a deeper, more specific dive on. We'll do a couple pods as we get closer for sure. But one of the things I look at is there are a number of teams around the league that are at an inflection point where it's fairly obvious they need to make some changes and make some bigger moves. And I think a lot of those type of players are, they don't really fit the Lakers and their needs, right? Like I think Ja, Trae Young in Atlanta, right? They're playing very well. And with Jalen Johnson really being sort of a triple-double machine there. The Clippers obviously need to be stripped for parts in a lot of ways. They're the Kings. Several teams around the league will be sellers. I just think a lot of their main pieces are sort of redundant with what the Lakers already have. So when you look at this year's deadline, Dee, do you think it'll be an active one? Do you think it'll be one the Lakers can get in on and find the types of players that we're looking for that are less, is LaMelo Ball going to move or Ja? Those are not the type of players we're really in the market for, but there is an opportunity to get in on those type of moves, and other players tend to move in those type of deals. So how do you view this year's deadline in terms of how busy it'll be? Because last year was a historic one.
I would not imagine it's going to reach last year's levels. Last year saw Luka Doncic traded, as the Lakers are well aware of, and Anthony Davis. De'Aaron Fox got traded last trade deadline. Zach LaVine got traded. There were tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars traded in a single player. Those are very hard deals to execute in season unless you're trading one of those guys for another. It's one of the reasons why trade ideas that sometimes include Trae Young also include Ja Morant. Is there some sort of musical chairs idea that exists with these players? Because in a lot of senses, you have to trade them for each other because cobbling together enough contracts is difficult during the season when rosters are set and they're capped. You can't go above 15 players, whereas in the offseason, you can carry up to 20. That said, if players like that do move, I would love to see the Lakers be the third team in a deal and sending out one of their smaller or mid-level salaries that they've got and seeing if they could latch on to a player who makes in between $5 and $12 million. And the Lakers have salary all the way, like in all of those ranges. I'm not a proponent of trading Jake LaRavia, for example, but Dalton makes $4 million. LaRavia makes $6 million. Smart makes in that area too. Ayton makes $8 million. Gabe, Maxi, Vando, they're all in the $11 million range. Some of the deals that I've been conjuring up have been like, oh, what can the Lakers get for $18 to $20 million by including two of those players? But what can you do if you just trade Dalton? Can you get a better fitting player than what Dalton is, who is out of the rotation right now? What can you do if you trade Gabe or Kleba? Right? Can you get a guy who makes $9 million or $11 million in a straight up salary swap? And the salary stuff is going to matter. And this is something that Jason mentioned. There's so many players who address the sort of positional size and athleticism perspective all around the league who actually don't make a lot of money or are just eighth, ninth guys in the rotation for a team, but could be helpful for the Lakers. Ask about those guys, make calls on them.
Do the Lakers need an eighth or ninth guy, or do they need a fifth starter? Like, sort of, how do you see the Lakers need in this respect? I'm like, I bring up Sadiq Bey as a guy I like earlier. Like, I like him as a eighth, ninth type of guy, and he's been solid for the Pelicans, but that's, you know, it's not a Wiggins, it's not a Drew Holiday, it's not, these aren't guys that have done it for teams that have actually won titles.
The Lakers are not going to be able to get Andrew Wiggins or Drew Holiday. So Drew is out of the possibility. From my perspective, he makes too much money. If you're going to get Drew Holiday, you have to trade $35 million worth of salary. And Rui gets you halfway there. You know how many more guys that you have to include? And that's three more roster spots. And the Lakers are up against the first apron. There's technical collective bargaining agreement stuff with the hard cap that the Lakers actually are going to have difficulty navigating. It's one of the reasons why these two-for-one roster deals that I've been thinking about, so it's like, oh, can you package Gabe and Kleba and get a single player who makes the same as them? If that player makes $22 million and you're sending out $22.5 million or $23 million, you then are getting awfully close to just like, okay, well, this is a straight up salary swap. And now do I have enough money under the first apron to recoup that roster spot? And you might, when you get closer to January, when the minimum gets prorated, but that's signing like a free agent off of the street. It's a tricky equation. I would say that if you're really looking to get to your question, do the Lakers need a fifth starter or do they need like an eighth or ninth guy? They could use both, honestly. But if you were to make a deal for an eighth man sort of guy, I'm still of the mind that like Marcus Smart should be starting. So I think the fifth starter is on the team, honestly. And if you trade for a player who is a better fit and he's like a seventh, eighth, or ninth guy in the rotation, that player helps sop up some of the minutes that are now going to be distributed in a different way. And so I don't see that as a problem necessarily of being like, okay, if you trade for a guy who can be in your playoff rotation, that's a win in my eyes. And if that means that he's the eighth guy in the playoff rotation, or if he's the fifth guy in a playoff rotation, great. Both of those players help the Lakers be better. Where are you at with that, though?
I mean, yeah, both help, but it's the matter of degree that I think they need help. I think they need a starting caliber player. I don't think that an eighth guy is good enough. Like, I think it gets you closer, but just, you know, beaten a little bit earlier, right? And so that idea of some – I would love somebody who could actually keep Marcus off of the bench, and because that player is better than Marcus or is able to fill that same role in a way that – has maybe a little more athleticism or length or foot speed or whatever, right? Like if Marcus, you know, this was part of the Rich Paul thing of like, oh, and the Max Kellerman thing of like, oh, if it was a championship Lakers roster, then maybe Austin would be able to come off the bench, but they don't have that type of, they don't have those type of substitutes instead of Austin. I think similar type of idea with Marcus. If like Marcus was the second best dude at the things that he does well on this team, I think we'd be well on our way to a championship level defense. Now, who are those guys that are available? There are a couple of those names like Wiggins and Brooks that I don't think are on the market the way that people anticipated prior to the year. Now we'll see, right? I think Miami's now the ninth seed, but they've never been a team that's tanked. That's not something that they've really looked to do, is trade, you know, their good players for someone who isn't, just so that they can slightly improve their draft position. It's not how they work, especially in a conference that's a pretty wide open East. Like that would be very different than how Miami normally ticks. And so that, you know, Phoenix is kind of playing to be the best team they can be. They've been a bit of a surprise to start this season. That some of the top names that we've talked about, you discussed the complications of trading for Drew. Like, are there those players in the first place that can be, right? As we often say with the trade market, it's not like you're going to the store to just pick out that 3-and-D wing that you like and bring him home and here we go. Now he's our starter. So it might be wishful thinking on that front to even get that player in the first place.
Let's take our second break, Pete, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you about the fifth starter.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Would you trade Rui?
Yeah.
I would trade Rui too. Are you actively looking for a Rui replacement?
Not active, but not like, he's the sixth guy for me at this point with respect to just his reaction time. I think one of the things, okay, let's rewind for a second. A big part of the focus is like, oh, the Lakers aren't athletic enough. I don't think that we can look to the trade deadline and be like, the Lakers will trade for Herb Jones or whatever, and now they are athletic enough. You know what I mean? I don't think there's some salvation at the trade deadline that will make them not the thing that we're like, right? They're not enough of this.
Well, it's like, oh, well, if they could trade for Vince Carter. Well, it's like, right. Yeah, Vince Carter makes you super athletic, right? But my point with this is too, is just like, that player's athleticism doesn't suddenly sprinkle across the rest of the roster as well and make Austin more athletic or exactly. Make Luka more athletic. There's still a deficiency in certain spots.
And so, yeah, ideally they'll be less deficient if they can trade for a certain type of player. But yeah, there's not a salvation to this particular problem waiting for the Lakers at this deadline. One thing I think they really need to be is connected and sort of just being able to read the play quickly, that when they're at their defensive best, and we saw this in the Phoenix game, that Rui doesn't match this type of player. Now, he's the best shooter and scorer out of all of that group, right? But I think that is something that you need all five to be reacting and reading to plays that he's just consistently behind on from a processing standpoint. That, yeah, he would be on the trade market for me, looking for somebody who could fit more of that type of style. But obviously, his scoring matters too. Where are you at on him?
I'm leaning more towards I'd be looking to trade Rui. One of the reasons why, and there's three reasons here. First is the idea I brought up earlier, building next year's team now. Without knowing what's going to happen to LeBron James, I could realistically argue, oh, well, Rui's a good power forward replacement. So if LeBron is gone, having Rui start at the four, that makes sense. Jason said a version of this on our pod last week. But what undercuts that for me is the point that you just made about Rui, is that his defensive deficiencies are less under the microscope when he gets to guard traditional power forwards. But the nature of the Lakers' defense is that they switch so much that that player is going to find himself defending Devin Booker at times, or is going to find himself defending, I don't know, man, anyone. Like, Rui started the Suns game defending Gillespie so that they could let LeBron defend Dylan Brooks, because Dylan Brooks ate Rui's lunch the last time that they played, right? And so, again, that point of who can Rui defend, and is the processing and like the team collective, like IQ understanding, locking in, is all of that there? It's not there enough for me. The second thing I would say is that I'm not yet convinced that just because you got a player who is comparable or maybe even a little bit better than Rui in the ways that we want him to be better, that JJ is instantly going to like upset the apple cart and move Rui to the role that we think suits him best. And to me, JJ has a proclivity towards Rui in a lot of ways, and he has a proclivity towards Gabe. And one of the things that I wonder about in roster building is that you can give a coach the roster that you think is best, but it's still under the coach's purview to like play the guys who he thinks are going to do the things best that he wants to see done out there. And I'm not convinced, Pete, that just because you bring in a player who seems to fit better, that that player is instantly going to start over Rui if they're like comparable players. And the third point that I was going to make is that if you're going to go up in the salary scale and find the type of player that we think is going to be like a playoff level contributor, a starting level player, you have to trade starting level players to get a starting level player, in my opinion. Rui is a starting level player. I just don't necessarily think that with this team's defensive identity, with Luka and Austin and LeBron, that Rui can start for this team. He could start for another team. Those are the three sort of ideas that have me be like, no, I'd actually be looking to trade him right now and be like, I know they're going to miss his shooting. I know they're going to miss his scoring. But to me, if you replace that with enough defensive know-how, defensive versatility, and some rebounding, then you probably come out ahead in the like impact and net rating and all of the like the five-man lineup data and everything else.
And that's one of the things I like about the Lakers' position, is they can make a whole myriad of different trades in terms of salary that's going out, that there are versions where it's like you add a Sadiq Bey to a Rui, right? That's not something where Rui would have to go out, right? Or if you are able to get one of those guys, it's a 30 million plus type of player, that's definitely a starter, then you can include Rui, right? But there's a whole spectrum of trades that you can make in between that I think the Lakers are in a good spot in. But yeah, I do think that he, like DA and Marcus, like I believe in them. I trust them to be able to play their role come playoff time. Rui's role is also too limited, especially with how Luka opens up a lot of games. That's something I want to talk about a little bit more, just sort of the Luka coming out and taking the 10 plus shots in the first quarter and how that sets up the game. But Rui kind of predictably has been sidelined a bit in terms of shot attempts in that sort of framework. And so, yeah, being able to, you know, either move Rui to the bench or, you know, add the amount of salary that you'd get back in a starting caliber, you know, fifth type of guy. For me, where I'm at, just big picture, D, is like trade for the best two-way perimeter guy that they can, while factoring in, you know, what is the first round pick worth to you? What is the contract that they're making? But that is kind of where I'm at, just best two-way BPA guy.
I totally agree with your point, Pete. And in theory, I would want that player to be like a 2-3, or like a player who could essentially guard shooting guards or small forwards. And that allows you to slot Luka and LeBron, I think, appropriately.
I think so too.
The one thing I will say, and this will be true, I think, the rest of the season, is that the defensive effort that LeBron put in against the Suns, where I thought he really took his matchup with Dylan Brooks personally, to me, LeBron's role on this team is going to have to be like almost 50-50 in terms of offense and defense, because they don't have the defensive personnel at the forward position to be like, oh, well, you actually get the nights off. And so one of the things that I'm looking at is I don't expect LeBron to go out there and like chase around the Jalen Williams of the world or the Jalen Browns of the world. But it also can't be a situation where, oh, well, no, we're actually not going to have you guard OG Anunoby, or we're not going to have you guard Scottie Barnes. You're the best guy for these jobs, and so you got to go out there and do it.
That's the thing. It's like, in a lot of ways, it's like, we're not going to have Rui do this, right? Like you said, what facilitated the LeBron Brooks matchup in the first place is that Rui was a step behind chasing around Dylan Brooks. And this is part of what I was talking about earlier, is we're asking players to defend types of players that are beyond what they're capable of, right? Whether it's Jake asked to guard twos or Rui asked to guard the ball handling threes, the BIs, the Dylan Brooks type of guys, that, yeah, that's what LeBron's done his whole life, right? And so it is, yes, are we asking the oldest player in the league and most experienced in terms of years in NBA history to do this? But that also points to the type of, I think, player the Lakers need.
It's also one of the reasons why your point from earlier about if Marcus Smart's the second best player who does this, then that really does like boost and enhance the team, because in bench groups, then maybe you can have LeBron not have to guard that dude because you can bring in Smart.
Exactly.
And there's ways to like limit his exposure to it over the course of a game, but he doesn't have the privilege on this team to be like, I can never do it at all. Not with the way that this team is constructed, and not with the guys who are currently in the rotation, and particularly the five who start. So it's an interesting pathway the Lakers have at the trade deadline, Pete. I will say, though, that I am of the mind they have to make a move. I just don't see a world in which it's not a bit of a letdown if the Laker team that comes after the trade deadline is the same as the one that was there before.
The one thing I will add to that is the best things that happened for the Lakers this past transaction cycle were actually on the buyout market. So that is another way the Lakers may end up with adding talent to this team, which I do think is a viable route of not really moving anybody at all of the main guys, including the guys that are going to play sometimes, but maybe not other times. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I think there are a few guys. Vando was the highlight of that in the last pod, but I think several players fit this description that may be true. There are going to be some playoff series they're going to be helpful against, others where they're going to be DNPs. I think there's an argument to sort of look to add to that as best as possible through a buyout market type of candidate rather than making a big move there. So just quick thoughts on the buyout market in this whole mix.
Totally happy for the Lakers to actually be in a position to sign a buyout guy, potentially also one without any restrictions, right? The Lakers are under the first apron. If you're an apron team, then there start to be limitations on how much salary a buyout guy could have made beforehand and you still being able to sign them. And so I'd be totally happy if one of these veteran guys who gets bought out would be available to the Lakers. I will say that in the past, it's almost always felt like that player's a center, and I feel less needy around that area right now. Like Vucevic was a guy who I thought might eventually see the buyout market. And then the Bulls started out hot, and then, but they've since cooled out by a fair amount. And so maybe he's back on, but I don't see a need for him as much now.
And the type of player we were just talking about, the type of player who is better than Marcus Smart at doing those type of things, those guys never get bought out, or they will not be available for the $2.3 million or whatever it'll be.
One last point I was going to make, and this falls into the Rui point, is Kleba has been a player who, when he's been available and has played, he's been more helpful than unhelpful. Now, he's dealt with injury a bunch, and he was out again the other night with something that I don't even remember that being a thing with him, but he's been getting most of his minutes, Pete, at power forward rather than being the small ball center. And the Lakers have not been playing small ball groups almost at all. It has not been a look for them very much. And I'm not advocating for them to suddenly start playing small. I'm just making the point that if Rui is in a trade somewhere and LeBron is your starting power forward, there could be lineups where if you trade for a wing that, oh, you know what? We're going to dust off Kleba in this game as our sort of shooting forward who is spacing this way and has that defensive understanding that you were talking about earlier. That's the one thing Kleba does still have. He understands his rotations. He knows how to move on a string. He is a thoughtful, team-oriented defender that I think can be helpful in some lineups. Am I saying, oh, he should be an every night rotation player? I'm not, but he fits into that same idea that you just brought up of a solution on some nights, but not necessarily on others. And can your rotation reflect that?
He also represents somebody to me where it's like, is this maybe an example of the type of player could, like if we traded for Bobby Portis and played two big lineups where Portis were stretching the floor next to DA, right? Or Jackson off of the bench. And could that be another look that the Lakers bring to the table where Kleber represents maybe the type of player, but he's not quite fast enough for high level playoff basketball, right? I look at a couple of our players off of the benches. Vando can be an example of this too, of like, really, a lot of what we talk about, it's like, if Vando could just stay on the floor on the offensive end in a playoff series, then it would address a lot of that, you know, guy who's similar or better than Marcus at playmaking and attacking and getting up into an offensive player. But, and so somebody that is sort of capable of doing that. I think that Maxi might represent sort of a second big type of option look. So a lot to talk about on this front, D. That we'll have several pods on this topic. We will be back tomorrow, preview next stretch of games coming up. I think the Lakers have kind of had a moment to catch their breath, and we will be back to discuss sort of the next steps of the season. But until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's in. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game.
Rebound to Lottie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
in Boston. Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me?
Unreal.
Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two, one.
Miss it.
Unbelievable.
It's over.
And shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yeah.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Bad insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.